Welcome to the service of Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We want to extend a warm welcome to all of you, and especially to our guests and visitors. Today is Palm Sunday, a day we commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In the first part of the service, we'll have a chance to join in a procession of palm branches and scarves. This Sunday, however, also marks the beginning of Holy Week, which is the week leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it is also the last week in the season of Lent. In anticipation of Easter, during the second part of the service, we will have a time of confession where anyone who wishes can bring a representation of either sin or brokenness to the cross we have up in the front of the sanctuary. Let us begin our worship today by singing number 2 in the blue hymnal, "In the Holy Place We Bow."
Number 2, and let's stand up to sing.
We give thanks to the Lord, for you are good. Your love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, God's love endures forever. When hard pressed, we cry to the Lord, and God's Spirit brings us out into the open. When the Lord is with us, we will not be afraid. And what can mere mortals do? When the Lord is with us, we will find victory over the enemy. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans, and it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The Lord alone is our strength and defense. Because the Lord's right hand has done mighty things, we will not die but live, and we will proclaim what the Lord has done. Open the gates of righteousness. Let us enter and give thanks to the Lord. We will give you thanks, for you have answered us. The Lord is our salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made us a bright light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the happy procession. You are God, and we will praise you. You are God, and we will exalt you. We give thanks to the Lord, for you are good, and your love endures forever. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord and Savior, thank you for your life given to give us victory. Give us the courage to follow you with our whole selves. Amen.
Let's turn to number 238, Hosanna, loud Hosanna, and I think we need to stand to sing this as well.
With joyful words, let us share Christ's peace with one another, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you."
Hello, children. Where are you? We want you right up here today. Hello, hello, hello. Good to see the group today. I'm going to have a quick word for the rest of you in
the sanctuary, if you would take your hymnals and you would go ahead and find a Holy Lord in the Prairie Street Sings songbook so you are ready for what's going to happen next. It's number 9, Holy Lord in the Prairie Street songbook. So good morning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm glad you're here. You have heard stories of Jesus healing and teaching. And some people heard Jesus and they said, yes, God is doing something exciting and special. And other people heard Jesus and said, nah, just another person pretending to be important. And then some people didn't even know Jesus. But on this Sunday, we celebrate the time when people were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And it was a big festival, and families traveled from far away, and the city was full of people. But you know what? The city was also full of Roman soldiers, because Rome controlled Jerusalem with a tight fist, and the soldiers stood in the streets with shields and spears and helmets. And when the people came into the city in big crowds with lots of families, the soldiers got nervous. So on this day, you might know this story, Jesus was outside of town, and he sent his disciples to get a donkey. He went to get a donkey so he could ride into town on a donkey. And they began outside the city, Jesus on a donkey, the disciples following. And there were people in the town that said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's coming to Jerusalem. And there were other people saying, Jesus, I hope he doesn't cause us trouble today. And there were other people, like I said, that didn't even know Jesus. But when he came towards the town, people started whispering, and they started talking, and they started telling their neighbor. And there were some of the old wise ones that remembered the ancient scripture that said that a king would come to Jerusalem and set the people free. And they started calling out the windows, and they started talking in the alleys and the streets, door to door to door to door, and the dogs started barking, and the chickens started squawking, and people started gathering. They started coming into the streets. And the word went through, he's coming on a donkey. David came on a donkey. The king is coming to Jerusalem. And some believed, some didn't. But lots of people were there. And they began to take their coats, and they threw them down on the ground to make a special carpet for the king. And then there were people who started just pulling branches off of the palms, and they started waving him in the air, and they started saying, Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. What did they say, folks?
Hosanna!
What did they say, kids? Hosanna! Everyone, what did they say? Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that was the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem and started to turn it all upside down. It's a very important day. So today, guess what? We are going to give you palms. Who would like a palm? And what do you think would be a great idea to do next? Palms. Palms. And it looks like you guys need another palm. And, oh, we need lots of palms. Good. Excellent. And palm. And palm. And you know what you grown-ups have, don't you? You've got your scarves. Get them ready, and we will begin. Let's stand up, and we're going to do the procession. Are you ready? Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Whoa.
Our scripture today comes from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'"
Cuando ya estaban cerca de Jerusalén, Betafú y Betania, y frente al Monte de los Olivos, Jesús envió a dos de sus discípulos y les dijo, "Vayan a la aldea que tienen ante ustedes. Al entrar en ella, van a encontrar atado un burrito, sobre el cual nadie se ha montado. Desántelo y tráiganlo acá. Si alguien les pregunta, '¿Por qué haces esto?', respondan que el Señor lo necesita y que muy pronto lo devolverá."
They went away and found a colt tied near the door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it.
Los discípulos fueron y en la calle, junto a la puerta, encontraron el burrito atado, lo desataron. Algunos de los que estaban ahí les preguntaron, "¿Qué hacen? ¿Por qué desatan el burrito?" Ellos les respondieron lo que Jesús les había dicho y lo dejaron desatarlo. Ellos llevaron a Jesús el burrito sobre el que echaron sus mantos y luego Jesús se montó sobre él.
Many people spread their cloaks on the road and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Por el camino muchos tendían también sus mantos, mientras que otros cortaban ramas que habían cortado en el campo. Tantos los que iban delante como los que iban detrás gritaban, "Hosanna, bendito el que viene en el nombre del Señor. Bendito el reino venidero que de nuestro padre David. Hosanna en las alturas."
Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Jesús entró en Jerusalén y se dirigió al templo. Después de mirar todo su alrededor, se fue a Betania con los 12. Ya después estaba anocheciendo.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Our preacher today is Pastor Nelson. Let's pray for him. Dear Lord, may the Spirit who lives with each of us respond to the pastor's word of encouragement and challenge. Let us resolve to listen to the voice of that Spirit. Amen.
I greet you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, on this sober and joyous week that is the liturgical center of our faith. What hope we have in Jesus. If you position yourself on a sloping street leading up to the ancient temple in Jerusalem. Is this mic live? Yeah. If you position yourself on a sloping street leading up to the area of the ancient temple in Jerusalem, which was up on that platform up there, if you do that on a Sabbath, seventh day of the week, you are likely to experience or to see a procession much like this. And with clapping and music and dancing, family and friends here are preparing the way for a procession coming up to the Temple Mount. And this would be a Jewish adolescent who is coming for bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Bar mitzvah meaning son of the covenant, bat mitzvah daughter of the covenant. Let's advance. So what you have here is in the blue shirt on the right is a lad, probably, what is he, 13? And you can see the musicians there on the left preparing the way for him. And they have a canopy of families holding a canopy over him. And he is moving into adulthood, and he is making his own personal commitment of covenant to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you stand there on a Sabbath, you might see 20 of these come by, just one after another. These are joyous processions. And they, like 2,000 years ago, these processions go on up to the Temple Mount. Now, this man here is not part of the procession. He's up in the Jewish quarter. He's standing on top of a building, and he's looking down onto the Temple Mount. And what you see there is the area where the ancient temple of Herod, and then before that, the temple of Solomon the Great was located, probably was located. And under that is a big rock. So this is called Dome of the Rock. And that rock is where, by Jewish and by Muslim tradition, Abraham sacrificed, or just about sacrificed, his son. And this gentleman right here, this man of faith, explained to me that that spot there is where creation began. That's where the Garden of Eden was. That's where Abraham sacrificed a son. That's where Messiah will return. This is the holy spot of Judaism. That building there is a Muslim shrine that was put there in the 7th century. It's been rebuilt various times since then. But it's a much, probably the most contested little piece of real estate on the planet. But these bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah parades today go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is, even though this man is higher, Jerusalem itself is on a bit of a hill. And the far distance you see the Mount of Olives over there. And this Temple Mount, it was a huge platform. You can see that's the ground level down there, and then it rises up, and ground level is up here. And this is many acres up there, a large, large platform extended by Herod the Great, who would have put those stones in right there that you see. And this is where the processions of ancient times and modern times go. But the modern processions for Jews stop right here. This is the Western Wall. And your typical Orthodox or conservative devout Jew will never, their entire life, set foot on that area, because you don't know exactly where the Holy of Holies was in the temple. You don't know exactly where that was located. And also, this now is a Muslim shrine. And so until, in Jewish understanding, until Messiah comes and rebuilds the temple there, most Jews will never go there. So they stop right here. And this is where Jews come to pray. And they come to the point closest to the temple that they can get without actually being in the temple complex itself. Now, Jesus' entry to Jerusalem is something that I thought of as I stood there and watched these processions come in. And our next slide shows an image of modern pilgrims today going from the Mount of Olives, and they're heading down a possible path that Jesus would have taken from the Mount of Olives. And this path then goes down through the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley runs north and south, left and right on this picture. And then up upper left, you can see the Dome of the Rock, and you can see the place where the temple would have been in Jesus' time. So this is what Jesus, more or less what Jesus would have seen, of course, without all these tombs here. It would have just been covered with olive groves. And Jesus approached the city this way, and his entrance to the holy city was far more disruptive than those bar mitzvahs I saw, or these modern Christian pilgrims reenacting the path of Jesus. The Passover week, let's look at the next image. The Passover week always was tense under Roman rule. And this is the context in which the triumphal entry happens. And this particular image is of by an African artist, a Zambian artist, and it shows Jesus entering the city and the crowds waving branches and celebrating his entry. This was a time every year when hundreds of thousands of pilgrims descended on Jerusalem. Still happens at Passover every year. But in ancient times, it was a tense moment because the Jews themselves did not control the city politically. It was the Romans that controlled it. It was a foreign invaders controlled it. And the people who came together at Passover were remembering and celebrating the time when God had liberated their forebears from oppressive rule. Okay, it was a pretty small step in imagination to go from, you know, God please defeat Pharaoh to God please defeat the Romans. This was a small step, and it would happen at these festival events. And the Jewish nationalists and those who wanted to have the city to themselves and to their own people and their own faith were angry and restive. So these people, these hundreds of thousands of pilgrims, would gather in the temple complex. And if you look at a model of the temple complex, this is not the way it looks today. This is a scale model of what we think the ancient city looked like. But Jesus would have approached the city. This is the Kidron Valley here, and it says if we're standing on the Mount of Olives looking down on the temple complex, Jesus would have come in either by the so-called Golden Gate, which I think was probably a more grand affair than that, or he would have come in this way, would have come up a path this way and come in that route. But he would have Jesus headed into the temple complex. And right at the edge of the temple complex was the Antonia Fortress, and that was built by the Romans, and that's where they had a cohort of soldiers. They had up to 500 soldiers in that. And so those soldiers were ready at a moment's notice. As soon as there was a sign of trouble, they could stream out of that fortress into the temple complex and squelch any trouble instantly. And it was during Passover time that ancient historians say the Jewish assassins would work. And some of them carried a knife in the small of their back or in tucked into an ankle. They'd have a dagger, and they would come up behind a Roman soldier when there was crowds of people and stick the knife in. So these kind of assassinations were happening in Jesus' time. And the Roman historian, first century Roman historian Josephus, says that the following incident happened during Passover. This would have been about 20 years after the death and life and death of Jesus. This is Josephus now writing. When the multitude had come together in Jerusalem to the Passover feast, a Roman cohort, that is 500 soldiers, stood over the cloisters of the temple, this being the cloisters. So the guards were probably standing in the shade there, and they were just watching these pilgrims in the courtyard. They always were armed and kept guard at the festivals to prevent any mischief which the multitude thus gathered together might make. One of the soldiers, you picture this, pulled back his garment and, bending down in an indecent manner, turned his backside to the Jews and spake such words as you might expect in such a posture. At this, the whole multitude was indignant and made a clamor to the Roman governor that he punish the soldier, while the rasher part of the youth and such as were naturally the most tumultuous fell to fighting and caught up stones and threw them at the soldiers, upon which the governor was afraid lest all the people should make an assault upon him and sent to call for more armed men. When they came in great numbers to the cloisters, the Jews were in consternation. And being beaten out of the temple, they ran into the city. They headed out into those city streets behind the temple. And the violence with which they crowded to get out was so great that they trod upon each other and squeezed one another till 10,000 of them were killed. This is a Roman historian, well, a Jew who became a Roman writing this history. That kind of oppression and that kind of tension triggered revolt, both in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and also in Josephus and ancient historians. We read of messianic pretenders, that is, men who came and said, "I am the Christ. I'm going to deliver you from the Romans." And typically what these people would do is they would go into the desert, or even better yet, they would cross the Jordan River, and they would come through the Jordan like who had come through the Jordan? Joshua came through the Jordan and came and threw out the heathen rulers. Okay, the new messianic pretenders would do this. And Rome, without exception, crushed these revolts and without exception executed the men who tried to lead such occasional attempts at rebellion. Let's go back to this picture, next slide, of the African painting of triumphal entry. Now we see Jesus, who himself had gone through the waters of Jordan, like Joshua. Jesus, whose name is exactly the same as Joshua. Did you know that? It's the same name, Joshua, Yeshua. So this is a new Joshua coming. He crosses the Jordan. He's now coming into the capital city, and he now was hailed as a king in Jerusalem. And the crowds went wild. You know, this was their hope. At least some of them did. Not all of them, to be sure. But some of them believed that this was the Christ. And so people put their garments on the ground for Jesus and his donkey to pass. And yes, Jesus came humble on a donkey, but you have to bear in mind that that is fulfilling a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, which says, your deliverer, your Messiah, your anointed one to bring liberation will come humble on a donkey. So when Jesus did that, you see how Jesus is fitting into this set of expectations of the Jewish people. No wonder they waved palm branches and laid those before Jesus on the streets. And no wonder they shouted, "Hosanna," which means save us, free us, save us. And that meant save us from Rome. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David." And the Gospel of John records the crowd saying, "The King of Israel." It was just that blunt. This is the king. Jesus' entrance to the holy city was a threat to Roman rule and a threat to Jewish religious leaders who were in cahoots with Rome. And the temple authorities were in collaboration with Rome. They figured, we got to get along with these people. Let's not fight against them. So the temple authorities didn't want trouble either. Within a day or two of this parade, this disruptor from Galilee went back into the temple to confront the money changers and kick over tables. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." No wonder Jesus was dead by the end of the week. Let's think back to that Jewish boy processing toward the Temple Mount for his bar mitzvah. It is a beautiful service, and I celebrated being, it was an honor to be an observer to that, joyful and spiritually fulfilling experience for him and for me as an observer. But next picture, within 3 miles of that celebration is the picture of another lad about the same age. And this one is a Palestinian youth who was shot to death at the entrance to a Palestinian refugee camp. And the entrance to the camp, with about 40,000 people in it, it really just looks like a slummy part of the city. It doesn't look like tents or anything like that. These are people that have been living there, Palestinians, since 1948. Some of them are, fourth generation now. And the entrance to their camp is a keyhole. You see the gate? And above it, a key. And I'll explain that in a minute. In 1948, immediately after Israel claimed status as an independent nation, there was war between the new state of Israel and neighboring Palestinian and, neighboring Arab countries. Let's go to the next slide. There it is. Yeah. So this is the way Palestine looked in 1946. This was after World War II, and this whole area of the world was controlled by Britain. It was called the British Mandate. They controlled it. Britain announced that they're going to get out of this country entirely. They went to the United Nations and said, what should happen to this land of Palestine? Now, what you see here, the white areas, is land that was owned by Jewish people. These were mostly were people who had come from Europe and some other parts of the world. They had come to their homeland and they bought land from Arab owners. The United Nations said the Jews need a homeland, and indeed they did after the Holocaust. They needed a place. What more wonderful place to go than their homeland? It seems like a good idea. So the United Nations said, we're going to divide this land like this. We will give Jewish people the white area there, and the Palestinians, that is Arabs who lived in Palestine, speaking Arabic, we're going to give them the green. This will be Palestine. This will be Israel. A little bit of a wonky, shape, gerrymandered or whatever. Well, the Jewish people said, this is wonderful. We accept this plan. Look at all the land we get. The Palestinians said, wait a minute. That's all the land that you actually owned. All of a sudden, you're going to get half the country. So the Palestinians did not accept that agreement. As soon as the British pulled out, Israel declared that they were a country, and immediately the Arab nations around declared war on Israel and said, we're going to destroy this country. The war went on, was not a particularly long war. Palestinians who lived in this territory, many of them fled into the Palestinian area. There were hundreds of thousands of Palestinians that had to do that because of the war and the hostility. And Israel won the war. They whomped the Arab armies. Gradually then, over the subsequent years, there were further confrontations, and Israel pushed their territory until they took Jerusalem. You see here, Jerusalem was in the center of Palestine. Now, the Jewish Israelis had Jerusalem. And now what's happening is, bit by bit, Jewish settlers are moving into this area. This is called the West Bank because it's on the west bank of the Jordan River. There's the Jordan, west bank of that, West Bank. So this is Palestinian territory. So if you look at the land the Palestinians still control as their own territory, it's just that right there. This is what the tension in Israel and Palestine is about. There are justice issues going on here, and I feel it every time I'm in the country. Let's go to the next slide. These people that live in this camp, want to go back to their homes, and many of them are descendants of people who lived in what is now in Israel, and what they still have is the key to their house from 1948. They have a big key. This is the key to their house, and they want to go back to their houses that they owned and their property that they owned, that they bought and paid for. They want to go back to that, and so they cannot. And the keyhole and key has become a symbol of that. Josephus says that Jewish boys threw stones at Roman soldiers 2,000 years ago. Today, it is Palestinian boys who throw stones at Israeli soldiers, is what happens. And that is probably how this young man died. The sign says he was just standing there and shot. It's very likely that he was part of a group of boys, teenagers, throwing rocks at the Israeli soldiers until they shot him dead. And on the far wall, it looks like a blackboard on the right side where the group of people is. There's dozens and dozens of names of people, a lot of them teenagers, who have been shot and killed in that part of the world. The young Jewish boy on his way to Bar Mitzvah had reason and has reason for hope. He's being blessed by family and friends and synagogue, and he should be. And it seems right that he and his people are in the land. The Palestinian lad also has or had hope, and he would have had dreams of living in dignity and safety in his own homeland. It is disruptive to be hopeful in an oppressive situation, because hope inspires courage and sacrifice and sometimes confrontation. And if you go into the West Bank, you see murals here and there of this sort of thing. Somebody will have painted a mural of Israeli soldiers leveling their guns at women and children, which does happen somewhere almost daily in parts of the West Bank. Hope in the face of systemic evil can be disruptive, as we saw yesterday in scores of American cities. And yesterday there were hundreds of thousands of young people, many of them teenagers in this land. Often we see that teenagers are the victims of gun violence on the streets. Often they are perpetrators of gun violence on the streets. But in the schools now, we've had this spate of shoot-ups, and these teenagers are protesting in action by the National Rifle Association and by our government, in action to stop the easy access to assault weapons and handguns. Young people have hopes of living in a peaceful society. They have hopes of growing up in safety to careers and family and adventure. Their hope is a disruption to the gun industry, a disruption to the gun lobby, a disruption to politicians who have built their careers promoting paranoia about crime, even at a time when crime rates have been steadily going down. Jesus also disrupts patterns of violence and oppression and sin. Violence and oppression in our society, sin in our lives. Jesus comes in and wonderfully disrupts that. If you see racism in this city or nation, Jesus wants to disrupt that and disrupt society. And God might call you to be part of the parade or part of the agents of change. And if you see destruction in the environment or money that schools need going to build bombs and for more wars, Jesus wants to disrupt that wrong. If you see bigotry in politics or lies being told in the media, or bullying in the schools. Jesus wants to disrupt those patterns with truth and love and reconciliation. And if you are under the weight of sin or addictions from mistakes you have made, or under a weight of low self-esteem or depression, something that we all have experienced in and do experience in our lives, Jesus wants to disrupt our lives with forgiveness and hope. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Put away that sword, Peter. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What does God want to disrupt in your life this week, this Holy Week? What does God want to disrupt in Elkhart and in this nation? What part will you have in the triumphal entry of the Prince of Peace?
Please turn to number 239 in the blue hymnal, 239.
We have a tradition at Prairie Street of confessing our sins and brokenness in a symbolic way by writing or drawing on sheets of paper and bringing these to the cross we have in the front of the sanctuary. The paper in the bulletin is provided for this use. While we are doing this, we will sing When I Survey, which is number 260 in the blue hymnal. The papers that are nailed to the cross will be burned after the service and remain private. Let's begin with a prayer. Merciful God, create in us clean hearts and put right spirits within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Amen.
Survey.
Please stand for the words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us and forgives our sins through his Son Jesus. God will heal our hearts and direct our steps. We know that we can safely and joyfully place our lives in God's loving care. Amen.
Okay, the ushers can come forward. You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnal to number 530.
Thank you. Let us pray. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is the one who comes to us by the way of love, poured out with abandon. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is the one who walks toward us by the way of grace that holds us fast. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Jesus on the donkey headed down the winding road to Jerusalem, surrounded by disciples, not one of whom understood. Hemmed in by a crowd that cheered for all the wrong reasons. Jesus, you rode the donkey as Prince of Peace entering the holy city. Blessed is the one who calls us to follow. The journey leads through the shadows of betrayal. The journey leads to the night of Gethsemane and the darkness of the afternoon of Golgotha. Reveal to us who you are, how you can be a savior in our lives, a savior in our world today. Come, Lord Jesus. The earth is grieving, nations are at war, the vulnerable are abused. Despair and fear and pain are part of our lives. Sometimes we let them guide us. Sometimes we let them hold us back from living and following your way. We lose sight of your strong, steadfast love. Pour that strong, steadfast love now on all the concerns we hold before you. Now, in a moment of silence, lifting our cares, our hopes, our concerns for our lives and our world. Help us to be a brave and holy people, living beyond fear. Teach us to trust in your steadfast love here in this neighborhood. Trust your love for the city of Elkhart and your love that spreads all around the world. As we enter Holy Week, turn our hearts to Jerusalem, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That united with Christ and with all the faithful, we may one day enter in triumph the city not made by human hands, but the new Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, where you and the Holy Spirit and Christ live in glory forever. Amen.
And in the hymnal worship book, number 653, Abide With Me, and let's stand to sing together.
Thank you.
anticipate the rest of the story, a story of death and betrayal, and a story of hope and resurrection. Remembering always that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. May the Lord be your strength and your song and become your salvation. Amen.